Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Village Baptist Church. My name is Denise Fenrick. I will be your deacon for this service, and I just would love to welcome everyone. It's so great to see everyone's smiling faces, and I'd like to just ask everyone, if they can, for just a brief moment to do what it said on the screen, Ecclesiastes 5:7. Let's stand in awe of God and greet everyone and say hello to your neighbor. Give them a holy handshake, a hug, and just say hi, and let people know you're excited to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. That was fabulous. I like to break the ice and we can just go and say hi to everybody. It makes us feel right at home. Amen? Okay, this morning I'm going to share a few announcements with you. First, thanks to all who participated in the Summer Missions Backpack Program. We are very grateful for your support of our neighborhood kids. It does make an impact, so thank you everyone for your support. Remember, tomorrow, Deacons Meeting on Zoom, and worship and music on Tuesday on Zoom. Then we're gonna have Village Voice Deadline. If you wanna write, we always are looking for people to submit stuff to our Village Voice. So I'm just gonna remind those writers, there's availability. So please check out your Village Voice. The deadline is on Wednesday. Activity bags are available for kids 10 and under. In the back of the sanctuary, you'll see a basket in the back. For those kids, you wanna make sure they have something to do while they're enjoying the service. And then Vacation Interfaith School allows 8 to 12 year olds to learn about Christian, Jewish, and Muslim faith traditions. That's August 21st through the 23rd from 6 to 8. And then a survey about the pastor search process is available. Check your emails. There's paper copies in the back for those who rather do the slow mail. We want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to fill that out. And then we'll have our business meeting coming up next Sunday. So members, please be sure to come out next Sunday for our business meeting. Mark your calendars for the church picnic on September 10th. That's when we love to do what we love to do, and that's eat and fellowship, right? Okay, and then the beloved community would like to find out anyone who's interested and gathering to go to the March on Washington on August 26th. So you can contact Karen Woodson or Renee Deering. This is to stand in solidarity with others, to keep focus on the dreams of Dr. Martin Luther King. Where are we not judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character? So keep that in mind if you'd like to go. Karen Woodson, Dr. Karen Woodson, and Renee Deering are your contacts for this event. And that's going to be held on Saturday, August 26th. And I think that's all the announcements we have this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful song. You are my all in all. At this time, we're having our prayer requests, and we want to let all those online know that we're going to turn off the screen just for a bit, and if you'd like to submit any prayer requests online, you can do so, and then we'll return after this moment for prayer requests inside. We'll have our prayer requests at this time. Are there any prayer requests? Okay.
Good morning. This is a day the Lord has made. I just wish he hadn't made it quite so warm. But it is what it is. Boy, as I just listened to all these prayer concerns, I realized it's very appropriate for today to share. There's so many storms in people's lives right now. It is remarkable, and it's so good we can go to the Lord in prayer. So I invite you to do that with me. Will you bow? Lord, you have heard the concerns of your people, and we're grateful that you listen and respond when we pray. So often we are battered by the storms in life, and we feel like the wind's against us, and we wonder if you're going to reach us in time, but you always do. Not death, nor grief, nor illness, nor despair, nor the waves battering our boats, nor sinking feet can change this blessed assurance that is ours, that you are with us, you are for us, you are among us, and you are within us. And we're grateful for that blessing. We pray today for those in Hawaii who have been besieged by that horrific fire. 80 souls have been lost. And we pray for those who have loved and lost family members, for those who evacuated, that they might find care and comfort until they return to their homes and their communities. We ask you to sustain, Lord, all those first responders who have done battle with this fire and its aftermath. Give all those who are suffering right now a measure of your grace. Strengthen them for the rebuilding of their lives. God, bring us safely through our storms. And just grant us an awareness, an increased awareness of the pain and the tears and the hurt and the grief that surround us. As the summer season draws to a close, we begin to think about all that's coming, children preparing to go to school, and young people who are off to college or off to work, return to regular work schedules. Just so many things on our horizon to focus on. Help us to trust in your mercy and care. Grant safe travel, Lord, to all those who are vacationing. Bring them back to us rested, refreshed, and guide and direct our way as your people, your church. Give us strong hearts and willing spirits to be your followers. Guide and direct the search team. Grant them wisdom and discernment as they seek the one who will lead this church into the future. Bless those who serve you, Lord, all around the world and here in our nation. We pray that the day will soon come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ask you to hear the prayer of every heart, for we offer them up in the name and spirit of our Lord. Amen.
For the children's story. That's all we have? Okay, we'll make do. So today's scripture is about having faith. And you know, faith is a tricky concept. It's not really something that you can see, or sometimes if you try hard enough, you can kind of feel it. But other than that, you're not quite sure it's there, but it is. And to help me demonstrate it, I have a volunteer. So Ruby, can you stand up for me and put on this blindfold? And to demonstrate faith, I'm gonna lead you out to a spot in the sanctuary, and I'm gonna need you to have faith in me and trust that I won't bump you into anything or, I don't know, make sure your way is clear. Okay, so I'm just gonna kinda guide you. We're just gonna go over here. Okay, ready? So, let me face this way. Thank you. So you're just gonna listen to me and I'll make sure you're safe. Cool? Okay, so can you take 5 steps towards me? Okay, what about another 5? Mm-hmm. And face the front now. 3 more. Yeah, 3 more steps towards the front. Another 2 steps. Another step. Okay, can you turn around? Yep, just like that. Back up a little step, and then slowly sit down. Yep, just like that. Great job. Okay, you can take off the blindfold now. Thank you. You see, you had faith in me. And just like that, God wants us to have faith in him. So when the Bible talks about having faith in God, it means that you put your total confidence in him and you put all of your hopes in him. God does not want you to doubt that he's there. He wants you to know he is there and to not be afraid. Ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Jesus wants us to know, without doubt, that he is there. So whether it's like maybe you have a big test coming up and you're really anxious about it, you don't know how well it's gonna go, or maybe you're trying something new, God wants you to know that he is always there. Okay? Let's close out with the prayer. Dear Lord, help me to not lose faith. Please give me the ability to see, hear, and trust you. Please help me to never lose faith in challenging situations in my life. Please let me know that you are always with me, care about me, and support me. Don't let me hesitate, but make me strong in my faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can we go back?
We're talking about storms, and as the pastor mentioned earlier, a lot of us have a lot of things going on in our lives. So this morning, I'm going to sing Through the Storm by Yolanda Adams.
Stormy winds and the waves, though the Jesus is there with me. He can speak to the winds and the waves and make them behave. For all power's in his hands, on sea.
Now we will have our scripture reading this morning, and it's found in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by the time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words.
I want to thank Tony for that children's story, and I want to express our thanks to Denise for that beautiful anthem, and your worship leadership, and Janine for sharing with us as well. Will you pray with me? Loving God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. Terry and I were returning from Western Maryland a couple of weekends ago, and we got caught in a storm. And we've been caught in many storms while driving before, but this one was a doozy. I mean, the skies were as dark as night. We could feel the velocity of the wind pushing against the car. Hail was hitting the car, ping, 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 ping. The rain was coming down in buckets. Traffic wasn't moving at all. It was kind of a frightening 45 minutes or so. But the reason I mention that is because we all have frightening experiences. We all fear something. They say that public speaking is the greatest fear. Others would name the fear of heights. That's me. Or going to the dentist. Or snakes. Anybody afraid of snakes? Hey, if Indiana Jones can be afraid, you can be afraid too. Others are afraid of enclosed spaces or flying in an airplane. A lot of us fear rejection or a business failure, climate change, mass shootings. A lot of us are, not all of us, are afraid of losing someone we love. Or illness, or pain. Praying in public. Having to deal with an interim minister. Yikes. Well, I don't want to turn us all into quivering little puddles of fear. But a large portion of the scripture today is about storms and about fear. And whatever questions we might have about the historicity of this story, if you will, or whether or not it's possible to walk on water, I think it's a better use of time to focus on what God might be trying to say to us through the story. Of course, it's perfectly natural to be afraid. Part of our brains is always on the lookout for threats and danger. There is such a thing as healthy fear. But allowing fear to control us is something else again. Or to allow fear to paralyze us to the degree that for fear's sake, we don't do anything is not helpful. This story opens, and we notice that Jesus made his disciples get into a boat. Not all the Gospels say that. This one does. And they go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismisses the crowd that's gathered. And just for context, I think it's helpful to know that chapter 14 opens with the account of the death of John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. And Jesus' reaction to that sad news was to withdraw to a deserted place by himself. But the crowds won't leave him alone, which leads to the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And so today's reading opens with Jesus. Again, he's determined to get away by himself in order to pray and refresh and energize. This was cyclical for Jesus. Have you noticed? He would do ministry, and then retreat to pray and to refresh. I think he knew that if we don't take care of ourselves, there may not be much of us left over to take care of others. And surely he was feeling the weight of ministry. of loving and caring and healing so many people. So he's up on a mountain. In Matthew's gospel, a mountain is a place very close to God. Very peaceful setting. But the disciples are not in a peaceful setting. They're in a fragile boat down below, being battered by the waves far from land, and the wind is against them. Remember, for Israel, water was a thing to dread. For Israel, water spoke of sin and judgment and a surging, dark chaos of death. Way back in 1999, I was on a boat on the Sea of Galilee as part of a Holy Land tour. And we were taken to a point near the middle of the sea. Of course, it's not really a sea, it's a lake. It's about 12 miles long and 7 miles wide. And as we made our way out to the middle of that sea, we could actually feel the wind pick up, and some dark clouds were moving in. And we had a time of worship out there. And almost as if on cue, it really started to bump a little bit. Now, I don't want to over-dramatize this. It was not a massive storm, but it did give me kind of a feeling for what it must have been like that night for these disciples as they were threatened by this horrific storm. So Jesus is up on the mountain, and now he comes down, and he wades into the sea to help them, and they see something coming, or someone, but they're not quite sure what. And that is what really terrifies them. They'd been through storms before, but this unknown really scared them. And so Jesus speaks words of comfort to them and assurance, kind of a threefold response. He says, have courage. And then he says, ego and me, it is I, or in the Greek, I am. And then thirdly, he says, don't be afraid. And what I hear in those words, I don't know what you hear, but what I hear in those words is an assurance that the antidote to our fear is wrapped up in how close Jesus is to us and how close we are to him. He doesn't say a word about the water or the wind in this story. He just said, don't be afraid, it's me. And suddenly the disciples recognize him and they worship. Now Peter, always one to open mouth and insert foot, says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. I mean, if you can do it, I can do it too. So Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat, and for a few fleeting seconds, he's walking. A colleague of mine down in Virginia, preaching on this story, said that what Peter did kind of reminds him of the cartoon of the Wile E. Coyote, you know, and the Roadrunner. Wile E. Coyote chases the Roadrunner till he goes over the cliff, and then he looks down and he sees where he is, and whoosh, down he goes. Well, that's kind of how it was for Peter. He looks at where he is, he looks at how tall the waves are, how deep the water is, and he begins to sink. Blub, blub, blub. You know, tongue in cheek, I can't help but wonder if this is part of the reason Jesus named him Rock. When your name means rock, water is not your friend, you know. But Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reaches out a hand, catches him and lifts him up to the surface, and he chides him. He said, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? We all have those times when the storm clouds gather and the wind and the rain and the waves pound our little boats. And the storm is especially frightening if we think we have to face it alone. A little over a year ago, my family was battered with a storm. Lost my younger brother and my mother within a month's time. But a loving pastor and a loving church family came alongside us in the name of Christ to lift us up and comfort and strengthen, reminding us that we were not alone. Every week at Village, we set aside time to receive prayer requests, and so many of you share your hearts, and it is a beautiful thing to behold for those of us who are new. Sometimes it's an illness or a family issue, the loss of someone you love, just simply asking for safe travel. But it might be good when we walk through these storms to remember this story and these words of Jesus: "Don't be afraid, it's me." Have courage. There is something about the presence of Christ that does business with our fears. He gets in the boat, figuratively speaking, in our boat, and rides out those storms with us, and that makes them seem less frightful. I thought as I wrote this about Horatio Spafford, who his family was crossing the Atlantic many, many years ago. And the boat was struck by another vessel, and Spafford lost four of his daughters. And his wife was on that ship, but she survived, and she wired him and said, "Saved alone." And right away, he set off to be with her. And during the voyage, the captain of the ship summoned him to the bridge to tell him they were passing over the very spot where his daughters had been lost. And he returned to his cabin. And he wrote the words to the great hymn of faith: "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. I think about a lot about why Peter got out of the boat, and I don't really know. But maybe part of the reason is he wanted to be free from the fear. And he knew that being near Jesus could help. But the other 11 never got out of the boat. Not for a second did they consider that. You know why? They were scared. Fear had its way with them. John Ortberg wrote a book some time ago entitled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat." And he labeled these disciples that stayed in the boat, boat potatoes. And that they were. They wanted to stay where it was safe, relatively. Our fears can prevent us from living lives that are rich and full. But, my friends, the storms don't have to have their way with us. Fear does not have to control how we live or dictate our behavior. We can rise above our fears. One thing we can do is draw near to the Lord through worship and study and prayer. Peter does it by stepping out of the boat and moving toward Jesus. The others stayed put, as we often do. And I wonder sometimes, what is it that keeps us from stepping out of the boat more often and living the abundant life of faith? What have we put off because we feared the consequences? Who have we turned our gaze away from because we didn't know what to say or do? Where have we refused to go for fear of what might happen? What dreams of ministry have we allowed to wither and die, even when we knew in our heart of hearts that God was calling us to go and to do, to be with someone in need? The result being that we often stay put in the boat, allowing ourselves to be motivated not by faith, but by fear. 11 of the 12 wouldn't get out of the boat. Peter gets a bum rap because he answered Jesus' call to come. What a wonderful example of faith in spite of fear. I think God wants us to live lives of courage and hope, don't you? As individuals and as this community of faith, God wants more for us, surely, than safety and stability or the status quo. I had a member of one of my other churches, she said, "Pastor, I've got 60 years of experience in this church." I thought to myself, well, you might. Or you might have 60 years of the same experience. There's a difference. God calls us to step out of the boat and stretch and grow and risk and live into the abundant life, trusting all the while that we're not alone. There's power in the presence and a hand that'll reach out and lift us up if we have need. God may be calling us out of the harbor, out of our comfort zones, to live with faith and hope as we seek the welfare of the people and the community all around us. It seems to me that as we draw closer to Jesus, the more we begin to become like him, and we start doing the things that we see him doing, reaching out our hand to rescue those who may be going under, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoner, clothing the naked, extending kindness to those who have been shunned, welcoming the stranger, speaking up against injustice. In our day, speaking up for women, perhaps, who sense the call of God to preach and to lead, and yet they're prevented from doing so, not in this church, but in other churches I've heard about. You get the idea. You know what the term is for the portion of the sanctuary that you're sitting in right now is? This is called the nave, from the Latin word navis, which means boat or ship. We're all in this boat together. But we can make the greatest impact when we get out of the boat, leave our comfort zone, and walk with the Lord, who's way out ahead of us anyway, wherever we perceive he might be taking us. Ministry, my friends, is out there. And I promise you, new life will come to us on its way to someone else. It just occurred to me that so often we ask God to bless what we're doing. Lord, bless this that we're doing. Bless that we're doing. Maybe we had better be praying, Lord, help us to do those things that you are out there blessing. That's where we need to be. My friends, step out of the boat. I want to encourage you. Step out of the boat and find at least one thing that you can do, and I'll find one thing that I can do. A ministry, perhaps, a cause, a commitment, a mission. It doesn't have to be grandiose. It can be as simple and as profound as providing backpacks to children who are going back to school. But if we could all step out of the boat and find one thing to do in love, after all, there's 2 billion of us, you know, we could make the world a lot less fearful and a lot less stormy if we all did something. Well, pretty soon we'll be entering this interim period. Sailing together, who knows where. I'm a little apprehensive about it. As I like to say, I'm an old dog and this is a new trick. And who knows? We might face a storm or two together along the way. Maybe some adversity, some challenges. But I tell you what I tell myself. The promise is sure. Have courage. And go in me. Don't be afraid. Because there's a hand that'll lift us up. And a spirit that'll come alongside us to guide and direct our paths, to grant us peace in the storm. We can't know how it's all going to work out. But if we stay close and go about doing the things that he's blessing. As one of my family members likes to say, it'll all work out. So, let's get out of the boat, out onto the open sea, and live and minister with courage and with hope. Amen. Let's pray together. God, help us to be the followers that you want us to be. Answer your call to have courage, to climb out of the boat and leave our comfort zones and walk with you. Love and serve as we see you have loved and served. And Lord, when we do encounter storms and are fearful, our boat might sink, take our hands and lift us up. Climb into our boat, calm the wind and the waves, and lead us safely to the other shore. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I think the world is waiting for the people of God to step out of the boat and get into life. And I hope that we leave here today as people whose hands are outstretched to lift up somebody in need. If you can think of something today that you can do to step out of the boat and help someone else, come and share it with me at the close of the service. Or if there is anybody here today who would like to join this Village Baptist Church and join us in ministry and service, come and share that with me, if you feel led. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. The hymn is number 375. Let's stand and sing. It's not 375. I had the wrong hymnal. Okay. Let's stand and sing. Receive the benediction. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storms. And one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Amen.